Welcome to the Ronald Reagan podcast series, Words to Live By, hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan, in essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. In November of 1979, militants in Iran seized 66 American citizens at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and held 52 of them hostage for more than a year. Negotiations to get the citizens returned safely to America were hard, as the U.S. administration struggled to find anyone to negotiate with in a meaningful fashion. Negotiations continued throughout late 1980 and early 1981, during which time the Iranian demand centered largely on releasing frozen Iranian assets and lifting the trade embargo. An agreement having been made, the hostages were released on January 20, 1981, minutes after the inauguration of the new president, Ronald Reagan. That release was 40 years ago this month. Writing of announcing the release on Inauguration Day in his autobiography in American Life, Ronald Reagan said, "At lunch I was able to announce that President Carter's efforts to free the 52 American held hostage for 444 days in Iran had been successful, and that the plane carrying the hostages had just crossed the border and was no longer in Iranian airspace. Jimmy Carter was already on his way home to Georgia, and my heart went out to him. I wished he had the chance to make that announcement." And to the freed American hostages on that day, Ronald Reagan said, "Welcome to freedom. While we at home cannot begin to know the depth of your feelings, we want you to know of our profound respect for your professionalism and patriotism under the most demanding circumstances. I want you to know of our deep personal commitment to your future and the importance I attach to return and to the restoration of both your family and professional relationships. Our most immediate concern is to ensure that you are quickly reunited with your families and that you are once again able to enjoy the precious blessings of freedom. As difficult as this experience has been for each of you, it contains lessons for us all. Please know that we are with each of you and that this episode in our history will be ever with us as together we look to the future." On January 27, 1981, just 6 days after the inauguration, President Reagan welcomed all of the freed American hostages at the White House and greeted each of them individually. Let's listen to his remarks from that day.
"Welcome to the ambassadors of our friends in neighboring countries who are here today. And I can think of no better way to let you know how Nancy and I feel about your presence here today than to say on behalf of us, of the Vice President and Barbara, the senators, the members of Congress, the members of the cabinet, and all of our fellow citizens, these simple words: welcome home." You be seated, please. You are home, and believe me, you are welcome. If my remarks were a sermon, my text would be lines from the 126th Psalm. "We were like those who dream. Now our mouth is filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad." You've come home to a people who for 444 days suffered the pain of your imprisonment, prayed for your safety, and most importantly, shared your determination that the spirit of free men and women is not a fit subject for barter. You've represented under great stress the highest traditions of public service. Your conduct is symbolic of the millions of professional diplomats, military personnel, and others who have rendered service to their country. We're now aware of the conditions under which you were imprisoned. Though now is not the time to review every abhorrent detail of your cruel confinement, believe me, we know what happened. Truth may be a rare commodity today in Iran. It's alive and well in America. By no choice of your own, you've entered the ranks of those who throughout our history have undergone the ordeal of imprisonment, the crew of the Pueblo, the prisoners in two world wars, and in Korea and Vietnam. And like those others, you are special to us. You fulfilled your duty as you saw it. And now, like the others, thank God you're home and our hearts are full of gratitude. I'm told that Sergeant Lopez here put up a sign in his cell, a sign that normally would have been torn down by those guards. But this one was written in Spanish, and his guards didn't know that Viva la Roja, Blanco y Azul means long live the red, white, and blue. They may not understand what that means in Iran, but we do, Sergeant Lopez, and you filled our hearts with pride. Muchas gracias. 2 days ago, Nancy and I met with your families here at the White House. We know that you were lonely during that dreadful period of captivity, but you were never alone. Your wives and children, your mothers and dads, your brothers and sisters were so full of prayers and love for you that whether you were conscious of it or not, it must have sustained you during some of the worst times. No power on earth could prevent them from doing that. Their courage, endurance, and strength were of heroic measure, and they're admired by all of us. But to get down now to more mundane things, in case you have a question about your personal futures, you'll probably have less time to rest than you'd like. While you were on your way to Germany, I signed a hiring freeze in the federal government. In other words, we need you, your country needs you, and your bosses are panting to have you back on the job. Now, I'll not be so foolish as to say, forget what you've been through. You never will. But turn the page and look ahead, and do so knowing that for all who serve their country, whether in the Foreign Service, the military, or as private citizens, freedom is indivisible. Your freedom and your individual dignity are much cherished. Those henceforth in the representation of this nation will be accorded every means of protection that America can offer. Let terrorists be aware that when the rules of international behavior are violated, our policy will be one of swift and effective retribution. We hear it said that we live in an era of limit to our powers. Well, let it also be understood, there are limits to our patience.
More from Ronald Reagan after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit ReaganFoundation.org/give. That's ReaganFoundation.org/give.
And now back to Ronald Reagan.
I'm sure that you'll want to know that with us here today are families of the 8 heroic men who gave their lives in the attempt to effect your rescue. Greater glory hath no man than that he lay down his life for another. And with us also are Colonel Beckwith and some of the men who did return from that mission. We ask God's special healing for those who suffered wounds and his comfort to those who lost loved ones. To them, to you and to your families, again, welcome from all America, and thank you for making us proud to be Americans. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I call on to speak for this wonderful group of returnees, Bruce Langen, Deputy Chief of Mission in Tehran. Mr. Langen.
President, Mrs. Reagan, members of the Cabinet, Vice President, Mrs. Bush. I think I've got that out of order, priority in protocol terms. Members of the Diplomatic Corps are here, and all you beautiful people out there. I'm not sure I'm capable of this after that emotionally draining but beautiful experience that all of us have just had on the streets of this magnificent city. Mr. President, I hope you were watching TV, because I don't think any of us Americans have ever seen anything quite like it, quite so spontaneous, quite so beautiful in terms of the best qualities of our people. And we are deeply grateful for it. Mr. President, our flight to freedom is now complete. Thanks to the prayers and goodwill of countless millions of people, not just in this country, but all around the world. The assistance of those many countries and governments who understood the values and principles that were at stake in this crisis. The love and affection of our countrymen from all those tens of thousands out there on the streets today, to that lady that we saw standing on a hillside as we came in from Andrews, all alone, with no sign, no one around her, holding her hand to her heart. The enveloping love and affection of small town America, of the kind we witnessed in that wonderful two-day stop in New York State, West Point and its environs. And last but not least, on this flight to freedom, the United States Air Force on Freedom One. Mr. President, I give you now 52 Americans, supplemented by a 53rd this today, Richard Queen, sitting over here. Overjoyed in reunion with our families, the real heroes in this crisis. Fifty-three Americans proud to rejoin their professional colleagues who had made this flight to freedom earlier. Our six colleagues who came here with the great cooperation and friendship of our Canadian friends, and our 13 who came earlier. I give you now 53 Americans proud, as I said earlier today, to record their undying respect and affection for the families of those brave eight men who gave their lives so that we might be free. The 53 of us proud today, this afternoon, also to see and to meet with some of those families and Colonel Beckwith and some of those who came back. 53 Americans who will always have a love affair with this country and who join with you in a prayer of thanksgiving for the way in which this crisis has strengthened the spirit and resilience and strength that is the mark of a true, truly free society. Mr. President, we've seen a lot of signs along the road here and up in New York. They are marvelous signs, as is the spirit and enthusiasm that accompanies this, what we've been calling a celebration of freedom. They are signs that have not been ordered. They are spontaneous, sincere signs that reflect the true feelings of the hearts of those who hold them. Even those, I suppose, like IRS welcomes you, which we saw today as we came into town. And another one that said, government workers welcome you back to work. Well, we're ready. There was another sign that said, and I think that says it as well as any, the best, as far as we're concerned, the best things in life are free. But Even better than that was a sign that we saw as we left West Point today along a superhighway up there that someone had hastily put up. And the world will be better for this. We pray, Mr. President, that this will be so. Mr. President, in very simple words that come from the hearts of all of us, it is good to be back. Thank you, America, and God bless all of you. Thank you very much.
This is a flag, in this case, bearing your name, and it is a symbol I will give to you now, because all the others, you will each receive one when we get inside the building, and each one of you will have a flag symbolic of the 53 that are here for you, in your honor. And now, Nancy, come on up here. I think now a fit ending for all of this would be for all of us to participate in singing God Bless America.
Speaking more about the importance of freeing the American hostages in Iran in his autobiography, Ronald Reagan wrote, "Long before I ever entered the Oval Office, I had adopted a very simple philosophy regarding the question of what we as a nation should do if an American was held captive abroad against his or her own will. I believe that whenever one of our citizens, even the least among us, through no fault of his or her own, was denied the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it was up to the rest of us to do everything we could to restore those rights, wherever it took us, anywhere in the world that person was. It was a policy I followed for 8 years as president." Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Till next week, thanks for listening and God bless you.
Don't forget to subscribe to A Reagan Forum podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of A Reagan Forum come out every Thursday. Like what you hear? Check out our Words to Live By podcast, featuring radio addresses and speeches Ronald Reagan delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. New episodes drop every Tuesday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.